after day. We're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour, wooing and warning to prepare you so that you truly are not left behind. Thanks for joining us, and send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. God bless you, and let's get ready.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the...
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Chapman, the international forecaster. And, Bob, how are you doing?
Well, pretty good, I think.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I was just reading the financial pages, and boy, things don't look very good. Of course, they keep telling us how good things are, but yeah, I see where the banks certainly are being allowed to borrow. The large banks, they can borrow at 0% or 0.25%. Then they can take that money and turn it around and lend it to the government. They can lend the money they borrowed at 0.25%. They can lend it for 3 or 4% to the government, buy bonds or agency bonds. That's a pretty good scam, isn't it?
It certainly is. And previous to about a year ago, they weren't able to do that. This is something new. And they are using part of that money to buy treasuries and agency securities, which are Fannie Freddie, Ginnie, and FHA. And this is part of the way that they're helping to float the revenue needs of the U.S. Treasury. And that money, which is borrowed by from the Fed, is created out of thin air, so it's very inflationary.
Well, it'd be a lot cheaper for us if they'd simply go ahead and the Fed would lend it themselves, but then we wouldn't be subsidizing the banks. And the people don't understand. It's all about the fact that we have a government of the banks, for the banks, and by the banks, that they own our government. There's just a couple of the big banks that do that, but I mean that we have a book written in 1899 called The Coming Battle. It was the banks going to take over our country, 1899, and it's all come to pass. Of course, Woodrow Wilson recognized that in 1912 in his book, The New Freedom. How the bankers controlled our country, certainly would Franklin Delano Roosevelt recognize that. We have a letter he wrote to Colonel House, back in 1933. Anybody wants to see it? I found it in the Sterling Library, Colonel House's papers. President Roosevelt said, as both you and I know, our government has been owned by financial elements in the major centers going back to the days of Andrew Jackson. And, of course, that's exactly true. But the average individual really doesn't understand. He thinks he's free, but he lives in a country that's owned by people who have a different worldview, because I believe they worship a different God. Well, anyway, Bob, you bring us up to date. What's happening? Are those green shoots that are coming up, poison ivy that we hear about? Is the recession really over, like they keep telling us? Are things getting better and better because the stock market's going up?
Well, unfortunately, no. The stock market, the increase is a mirage. It's something that's been created by this tremendous amount of money, some $12.7 trillion that's been given to financial companies all over the world. And that's what's been going into this market. And they've been leveraging, of course, like they are with the bonds And that's really what's carried the market. The first part was carried by short covering, and in actuality, at the beginning, the financials, and recently, just a couple of weeks ago, the financials made another run upward, but it's petered out. I think we could be close to the top of the market here. It's very hard to tell when you have that tremendous amount of money floating around.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back, Bob. Well, Bob, you go right ahead.
Now, that tremendous amount of money available to go into the markets with, so that's what's been pushing it. And this bears out the one-sidedness of the bailout. I mean, we had a stimulus plan of close to $800 billion, of which half has been spent, and the other half is spread out over the next year or two. And we had some help in housing, but the help that's been created through loans insured mainly through the FHA is going to come back to haunt us. They've made up 37% of all the mortgages that have been issued in the last year, and that's something they hadn't done since 1933. And this is kind of a replica of what went on then, and that's a tremendous amount of mortgage insurance, so to speak.
But of course, aren't a lot of those loans basically unsafe subprime loans that are gonna certainly go into default here? I was reading just a few moments ago where something like 20 to 24% of their loans are gonna be very questionable. I guess 25% in 2007, 20% this last year. Those loans are certainly very probably gonna go into default, and then who's gonna pick up the tab?
Well, I think the figure, which that figure that you're quoting, is a figure from the man who runs the program for the United States government, and I think that's way off base. And I think the number will be 60 or more percent. What they did was they made, instead of houses being able to get a loan up to $625,500, they extended that to $729,000, and then threw in the $8,000 tax credit for first-time home buyers for good measure. And they're supposed to put 3% down, but they don't. At least with the first-time buyers, they're essentially putting nothing down, a little gimmick that they dreamed up. And, yes, they're talking about defaults of 30% or 24, whatever the number is, but it's going to be far higher than
that. Hold that thought, Bob. Hold it. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Bob is saying that, the FHA is rotting. Writing is subprime loans, or writing loans that they never should write. And this is one reason why the economy looks good. I mean, look at all these people buying homes. We're giving them $8,000 to buy a home, and they're buying a home with 3% down or with a gimmick. Maybe doesn't cost them much of anything. But isn't that great? Look at all those people, first-time home buyers. Looks good on statistics. But, Chris, Bob feels, and I'm sure he's absolutely right, that those loans are going to go into default in the second stage, the second downward crash of our economy. And then they're going to say, oh, shucks, we didn't have any idea. We were just so incompetent, We had no idea that when you loan money to buy a home to a person who cannot possibly afford to repay the loan, that those people are not going to repay the loan. They're going to be stuck paying interest on a mortgage on a loan that's worth a lot more than the house is, and the housing market continues to crumble. Why, of course, those properties are going to default, too. Right now, over 300 1,000 homes are going to default every month. And the Obama administration is doing everything they can to keep people in their homes. But, oh, shucks, they just are so incompetent. And I don't believe that for a minute, ladies and gentlemen. I believe they want this whole house of cards coming down. They know what they're doing, but they don't want the American people to know. Bob, you pick up the story.
Well, just as an example, if losses were 50%, they'd be over $360 billion. And that's a pretty good estimate. The down payment's supposed to be 3.5%, and it's not. And, you know, private lenders demand 20%. And so, and, you know, the people that are getting these loans have got FOICs of 650 or lower, which for the most part, and some of them have defaulted on loans for mortgages before, which is really astounding. And, you know, government feeds us this gobbledygook that it's going to be okay, and we're only going to lose 25 or 30% or whatever it is. I mean, even still, even that number, 25%, would be losses of $160 billion. And so it's no piece of cake. And there are people who have loans that can't get loans. And there's a lot of lenders who just really want to stay out of it. They don't want to get involved. I've been told by subscribers who are in the industry that, you know, they go to, you know, make a loan and they really don't want to make it. And so it doesn't get made. And so that's the state of affairs. But, you know, besides the stimulus package, that's what they've done. So if you want to take the numbers that I've got, you're looking at $440 billion, which will be lost or given away. And then I said in January, I thought that before the year was out, or early next year, that there'd be a $2 trillion second stimulus package under this administration. And I think that's going to happen. They're talking in terms right now, behind closed doors, of $200 billion, but, I mean, that's not enough to do anything. And so I think you'll see another stimulus package, at least as big as the one you saw, and perhaps somewhat bigger. And what they really need is $2 trillion. So with that said, they're trying to again extend the timeline for problems. And those problems are not going to go away. All they, you know, will do is send things sideways, and that'll be it. I know that some economists are predicting a 2.5% GDP growth rate for this last quarter of the year, which won't come out until probably the second week in February. And I really don't see them achieving that. Maybe 1% to 2%. And then during the remainder of next year, I don't see it going much higher. And unemployment's going to continue to creep up, not at the rate that it has, while all this money is being poured in. In the meantime, with the monetization plus all of this, I mean, you got to be looking at the end of next year, real inflation of 14 or 15%, and government-admitted inflation of 4 to 5%.
Well, you know, I was just so grateful to Barack Obama because he really cares about me, and he's going to send me a check for $250 the first of next year because I'm on Social Security, and he's going to send it to all us older people who are on Social Security and veterans and disability because, of course, he believes that giving people money is the way to bring prosperity to our country. We just spent ourselves into prosperity, but of course, I can't be critical of him. George Bush gave away a lot more money. In fact, you know, I think he was given $500 away. Why is Barack Obama so stingy? Why doesn't he give $500 to everybody, or maybe $1,000, or maybe $10,000? Wouldn't that solve our problem?
No, unfortunately. What would happen is that they would have more inflation, and that's that's not going to fix the underlying problem. And the underlying problem is that the whole system has to be purged. The banks and the brokerage houses and the insurance companies have to be purged from the system. And they don't want to do that because they're controlled by Illuminists. People, the power behind government. And that's why this dance is going on. Those entities have to survive when the final deflationary crash takes place, perhaps 2.5, 3 years from now. And so that's what we're going to experience because they want it that way. That's why the help for the average American is categorically under, you know, probably about, all told, probably $1.4 trillion as opposed to 12.7 that's going to financial institutions. And they're not just American institutions. They're also foreign institutions as well.
Well, I think, Bob, the important thing for our listeners to understand is the reason we have a problem is because the banks refuse to lend money. They can borrow it at 0% and invest it in treasury bonds. They can borrow it at 0.25%. They can invest it in the stock market. They're making out like bandits. I mean, they, I think they've got to pay something like $40 billion a year in bonuses to their employees. These are the big banks. But they're absolutely refusing to lend the money to the small businesses that are the backbone of our society because they want to bring the system down. They're operating on a timetable to destroy America. That's what's so hard for people to believe. They think it has to do with economics, and it does, but they created these economic laws. They created the crisis. They're refusing to loan, even though they have access to the money. The little banks, of course, are, you've already said, the 3,000 to 4,000 of those smaller banks are going to go down, and they're going to be bought up by the larger banks. We've lost almost 100 banks this year, and a lot more are going to fall before the 1st of January. Why don't you bring us up to update on the health of our banking system then, and the FDIC, which, of course, backs bank deposits with the full faith and credit of the United States government that has to borrow $5 billion a day just to pay its bills. The full faith and credit of a government that has to borrow $5 billion a day to pay its bills. Go ahead, Bob.
The FDIC is broke. They have a line of credit for $500 billion with the United States government, the American people. And the money that they need, they were looking for about just under $50 billion from the banking community as dues or payments on the FDIC for the next 3 years to be taken all at once. And the banks, of course, don't want to do that. So the Treasury will end up giving them $150 billion. They're going to have to give the FHA probably another $500 billion. I mean, the whole thing is just mind-boggling. I mean, the numbers involved are just incredible. And so we have a system where, for all intents and purposes, banks are not insured anymore. The money market fund guarantees by the U.S. government died on September the 18th. The reason they did that is they want the money to move from the money market funds into U.S. treasuries. And that's exactly what's happening. We had almost $400 billion in money market funds, and that figure is now close to $350 billion. So, you know, there's a big difference there. And as far as, you know, government solvency is concerned, we're looking at all kinds of debt being generated by the administration itself. Tax revenues are down $1 trillion, and they're trying to pass this cap and trade, which would increase taxes by about 20%, but they can't get it through the Senate, at least not as yet. And of course they want to add the medical reform plan, which is essentially euthanasia, among other things.
Well, that'll save a lot of money, though. It sure would save a lot of money if we just did away with the old folks.
Yeah, that's right. We would.
And, of course, the FHA is broke. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and Ginnie Mae are broke, insolvent. The FDIC is insolvent. The federal pension benefit plan is insolvent. They're all insolvent, but they're backed by the full faith and credit of the American government that has to borrow $5 billion every day to pay its bills. And what happens when the foreigners won't buy bonds? Why, they just create the money out of nothing. We'll go right ahead, Bob.
Well, it's going to continue, and that's why inflation...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
And you'd like to, of course, give us a call and get your questions answered. Why, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And, of course, Bob is simply pointing out that they're intentionally destroying the financial infrastructure of our country. Here in Modesto, California, unemployment rate of 40%, high unemployment all throughout the Central Valley, where they're destroying the farming economy of one of the largest agricultural centers in the entire world, and they're doing it to save a 3-inch smelt. They're letting the water just stream out into the ocean unimpeded, because we've got to save that smelt. And after all, we're a nation of laws, aren't we? And of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger could put his foot down tomorrow and say, we're not going to abide by your laws because they're unconstitutional. But Arnold isn't about to do that. He was chosen because he'll go along with the establishment. Well, we've got Bob calling from Kennewick. And of course, if you're out there, the number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295 here in the Central Coast. But understand that they know exactly what they're doing. They want to destroy the financial infrastructure of our nation, because the loyalty of the globalists is to this world government, and they have to transfer our wealth, our jobs, our manufacturing, now our farming, our mining, our lumber production, transfer them all to other countries as we move to create a two-class system, a very small rich class, a powerful military and police state class to keep the people in line, and then the great masses of the unwashed and unemployed. Well, let's go to Bob calling from Kennewick. Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
Good evening, sir. Fine, thank you. Praise the Lord. And I'll be praying that Bob gets rid of that cold. Sounds like you got a little head cold there.
Yeah, my Bob.
No, what I've got is a sinus.
Oh. Well, we'll be praying that it'll clear up. Anyway,
Bob, I had a question.
I'm curious on premiums on gold and silver. Is this something that will be with us permanently, or will this, do you see going away one day, and if so, when, or what can you tell us, please?
I'm only guessing, and that is really a guessing game. I think they're going to get larger, because I'm starting over the last couple of weeks, because the U.S. government is not printing any more coins for the time being. Some hard-to-get coins are getting harder to get, and it's not terse at all yet. It's, you might call it, you know, a temporary shortage, so to speak. And I don't think it's going to go away. I think it's going to get worse.
Okay.
And so I don't see any light on that one. Looking at the bigger picture, besides the coin market itself, we had an instance twice over the past 3 months, no, actually over the past 6 months, where COMEX ran out of gold and got gold from Canada. Canada said that someone stole it or it's missing, but of course that's foolishness. And then the European Central Bank gave gold to, or loaned gold to, COMEX. And then last week in London, the LME couldn't complete delivery, and they had to ask the Bank of England to help them. And that gold was lent by the Bank of England to these dealers, and it came in the form of melt. And the only country in the world that has melt is the United States government. And so the U.S. government had to have come up with that gold, or it had been lent earlier to the Bank of England. And so, generally speaking, physical-wise, the supply all around is tightening up, and it's going to continue that way. And I think what it's going to cause eventually is the failure of COMEX and or the LME, And I do not believe that the exchange-traded funds, GLD and SLV, have anywhere near the inventory they're supposed to have in gold and silver. And that inventory could be 25 to 50% for all we know. And that's going to be a scandal.
Mm-hmm. Now, does that answer your question? Because Bob, Bob really feels, of course, that the Germans have asked for their gold from the United States. We won't give it to them. The Chinese and the Arabs have asked for their gold from London. They won't give it to them. And he suggests they really don't have it. We're moving into exciting times. Hang on.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Dale calling from Washington State. Hi, Dale. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. A quick question. My question and my dilemma is I don't understand how inflation can occur when banks are holding on to the money against the day when they have to reconcile the instruments that they will eventually have to mark to market. They're not going to loan to the public because they know the public is already over-leveraged. And until the deleveraging takes place, both in the public realm and in the business realm, and in other words, until there's an environment in which the banks can lend, I don't believe they can lend right now because they're holding on to forms of cash against the inevitable day where they have to mark these instruments to market, and they know they'll need the cash then. So as long as people are deleveraging and there's fire sales going on, as long as I'm selling my boat because I've got to make my mortgage payment, and as long as the corporate America is doing the same thing essentially, and I'm doing it at a fire sale price, how can inflation occur? And then if it can occur, if all of this is happening simultaneously worldwide, if everybody's debasing their currency worldwide, what will the net effect be? I don't see it as anything other than zero.
All right, let's get Bob's response, because I think it's an excellent statement. Go ahead.
The parties that are increasing money and credit are the Federal Reserve and other central banks throughout the world. And they can create money ad infinitum, indefinitely. And so they can always create more money and credit than what is needed. There is a strong undertow in our economy, in the world economy, and it's been there for over 6 years now. And this is what the Fed and the Bank of England and others have been doing. And they usually overshoot because they certainly don't want to undershoot, because then the game for them will be over, and it will be for everybody else as well, and deflation will come. But it's not coming because they have been creating more money and credit than is necessary to solve the undertow of deflation. So we can expect that they'll continue to do the same thing until they can't anymore. And what will make them that they can't anymore? And I think it's going to be...
Hold that thought, Bob. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have Gail calling from Washington State, and he asked the question, how can we possibly have inflation? Certainly, the government may be turning out more money, but certainly, basically everybody's tight. The banks aren't lending because they don't want to lend. Everything is extremely tight, and as long as things are tight and price of houses are falling, and certainly the prices are not skyrocketing, even though we're turning out a lot of money, increasing the monetary supply, how can we possibly have inflation? And you want to pick up on that thought, Bob?
And that way they just create more money and credit than they think will be necessary. But as I said, that'll come to an end when buyers of money, won't want to buy anymore. The conditions will be such that it will not be worthwhile for them to do so. And in some areas it showed up already. The amount of plant and equipment being developed supposedly in this coming year will be 3.3%. And, you know, unemployment's going to be the same or slightly higher. And so all those people who are not making regular wages anymore, like the U6 figure, which is 21.3%, by the end of the year should be 22. And incidentally, we projected that number with the U6 without the birth-death ratio in January. And we are going to hit it right on the head. But in the next year, this coming year, inflation will, unemployment will increase slightly, maybe to 23%. If they put another stimulus plan in, it might stay at 23 or go to 24 if it's sizable enough. And after that, if they don't keep it up with stimulus programs that solve nothing, then it's not going to solve the problem, and the whole system is eventually going to come apart, and deflation will finally triumph over inflation.
I think one of the things is, Dale, that the value of the dollar is falling. Foreign governments are actually stepping in and buying dollars in an effort to try to keep our dollar from plunging even more. And so as long as the dollar is going down, we're not going to have inflation. But because everything is tight, as you're saying, it's a very complex issue. But the definition of inflation is not rising prices. The definition of inflation is expansion of the money supply. They're expanding money supply like it's going out of style. And, of course, one of these days, the pipe is going to have to be played. Just be thankful we don't have inflation today. But it's coming. When is it coming? I don't know. But I think it's coming. Anyway, anything else, Dale, before we let you go?
No, thank you for responding.
God bless. And certainly we have a Paul calling from Oklahoma. But before we get to Paul, I'm going to, first of all, give our telephone number out again. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And certainly, if you have a question for Bob, give us a call. But before we go on, Bob, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you and the International Forecaster, how they can get a free copy, and I know you'd like them to subscribe because that's how you keep going. So how can they get the International Forecaster that incidentally is published twice a week, 35 to 40 pages, all the information you ever wanted to know about what's going on financially that you're not going to get through regular channels? So how can people get your newsletter, Bob?
The publication is published twice a week by email on Wednesdays and Saturdays, and we have a hard copy that goes out for those that are not on the Internet twice a month as well. And you can get a free introductory copy by going to our site, theinternationalforecaster.com, theinternational, FORECASTER.com. You can email us at bob@intforecaster.com. That's bob@intforecaster.com. Or you can call 800-375-4188. That's toll free, 800-375-4188.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Paul calling from Oklahoma. And again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Paul, do you have a question or comment?
I just have a brief comment. Since you mentioned Arnold in your state there, California, I was reading in the Sunday paper, the Tulsa World, that I guess he passed some law where you have to drive around in your car with a hands-free device only, and you can't hold your cell phone. But his wife has been caught by people that drive around and take pictures of other famous people, and it was put on websites that his wife drives around with her cell phone still holding after this law's been passed. Well, and then he said that, you know, he said, well, he would talk to his wife about it and ask her not to do that.
Well,
it's just another, I mean, it's just, it's right, blatant in your face, do as I say, not as I do.
We have a ruling elite, and Arnold and Maria comes from the Kennedy family, fabulously wealthy. They are different than you and I. They run by a different set of rules. I mean, they run by a different set of tax rules and moral rules. You and I have to obey the rules. They don't obey the rules, and nothing happens. I wonder why. Anything else, Paul? You see, what the hardest thing for people to understand is we have a visible government, and that's made up of people like Arnold and the people in the state legislature and the people at the national level, you know, Barack Obama, the Congress and the Senate. But we really have an invisible government, and Arnold's part of that invisible government. Before he was allowed to become the governor of the state of California, why, Warren Buffett took him over to London to meet Lord Rothschild. He had to be cleared before he was allowed to run. And, of course, you can go up on the Internet, see pictures of their meeting there, and they're all laughing together. What they're doing is laughing at the common people who don't understand how the world really runs. Anything else, Paul? I guess we lost Paul. Well, again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Bob, how do you feel about that? I'm sorry I responded and didn't give you a chance to respond. How do you feel about the fact that Maria Shriver can drive around with her cell phone listening to it, but it would be a crime if you and I did that?
Well, it's the elitists and their exalted place in life, and as we all know, the Kennedy family made their money, and the other side of the family was the Fitzsimmons. They ran it, running alcohol illegally during Prohibition, and that is a fact. And I come from Boston, so I know a great deal about it, and I know the Kennedy family for that matter.
And they were very close to the mafia. In fact, that was where Bob and certainly Jack got into trouble, because old Joe Kennedy made a deal with the mafia that they got him elected, and of course Bobby and Jack would lay off the mob, and the mafia kept their part of the deal. They stole the state of Illinois and one other state, rigged the elections there, and then. But the Kennedys didn't keep their part of the deal. Now, certainly, the mafia was not alone in the killing of the Kennedy. They simply agreed to take the contract and carry out the assassination. But the oil men were involved, and the CIA was involved, and J. Edgar Hoover was involved, and a number of political leaders and other people of great wealth were involved. In fact, we have an interview with Lyndon Johnson's mistress where she tells about the meeting that was held the night before the assassination, and Lyndon Johnson was there, and Richard Nixon was there, and J. Edgar Hoover was there, and Lyndon came out of the meeting and whispered in the air, "Well, I'm not going to have to worry about those expletive Kennedy boys after tomorrow." So it was all laid out ahead of time, and Lyndon Johnson became president, and of course, later, why, of course, Richard Nixon became president, and a gentleman who was on the, Gerry Ford, was on the Warren Commission, who covered up the assassination of Jack Kennedy. He was rewarded. He became the president of the United States, too. It's just one big, happy family. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And our guest is Bob Chapman. Well, Bob, where do we go from here? What do people do to protect themselves in times like this, as the whole monetary structure, not only of the United States, but the world, is beginning to crumble?
Well, I think first people who are still employed should get themselves some dehydrated and freeze-dried foods. I think that they should have a water filter and a method of defending their families. And I think that's the basic insurance policy. The second thing, I think, is that if they have wealth, they should be putting it in gold and silver-related assets, because as I've been preaching for the last 10 years, that's the place to be. And that is proven true, all too true.
and we've got a long way to go in the prices of those metals. In the meantime, sooner or later, the stock market's going to go down. Interest rates are going to go up, which means bonds will go down. And the ability of other markets to make money is going to be non-existent, perhaps with the exception of commodities, because they're real things, and that will attract money in an inflationary environment. And eventually, we'll get deflation. It'll overcome inflation because the people who run things will want it that way, and that will be arranged. And the only thing left will be gold and silver. And so the gold and silver bullion and coins and shares will do very well. If you look back at the 1930s, you'll see that Homestead went from $30 a share to $636 a share. So the big leverage is in the gold and silver shares, followed by graded numismatic coins, and then bullion. And, you know, you pick your own method of protecting yourself. Some people don't want to take any risks at all, so they'll buy bullion or bullion coins, and so on and so forth. So that's the place to be, and we've been proven about 98% correct, and there's nobody in the world that's had that kind of a record for 20 years.
All right, well, let's go to John calling from Spokane. Hi, John. How are you doing?
Well, fine, thank you. My question is, have there been antitrust laws in effect that were not followed that resulted in those banks merging and getting so big that they were too big to fail? Or were those laws already taken off the books, like the Glass-Steagall was taken off the books?
No, the laws are still there. And everybody just ignores them. The media doesn't talk about it. And the concentration in industry is not only in banking, it's in many others as well. And it'll probably continue that way because they do what they want. They make up their own rules as they go along.
So if the laws are still in effect, then we don't really have rule of law, do we?
No, we do not. And don't expect to go to a court and get it, whether it's civil or criminal. And the civil courts are far worse than the criminal courts are. And if you noticed on Wall Street and banking, nobody goes to jail. There's a fine. It's paid by the company, not by the individuals. And they just get away with financial murder, so to speak. And it's even worse now than it was a year ago. And it just keeps on getting more and more terrible. And nothing's done about it. And the SEC is in on it. The CFTC is in on it. And they have been for years. You, as the American public, have absolutely no protection from these people.
Well, it's really a disgrace. The politicians keep talking about rule of law for others. It's a big disgrace. Thank you for answering my question.
Okay, well, thanks so much for calling, John. And we're going to go to Pat calling from Northern Idaho. And, once again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But why should anybody expect that you would have law in a land that's turned its back on God? Our laws at one time were based upon God's law. But this country has repudiated God's law. And the church, the Christian church, which was once the dominant force in America, has simply got right along with it, because our ministers have far more fear of government than they do of God. In fact, most of them don't even believe in fear of God. Hi, Pat. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I have a question for Bob.
Okay, fine. You go right ahead.
If one were to purchase the metals that you're talking about, how does a person go from one country to another with them if you were to move, say, out of the United States? I mean, if you had cash, you just put it in your wallet and you go. But what do you do if you have metal? How do you... do you just put it in the mail and mail it? Because I don't imagine you can go walking around with it.
Well, first of all, every country has a different set of laws. And taking the coins out of the country is no big thing. You can take $100,000 worth, and you can declare it, and it's okay. You can do that.
Through a
but if you take it into Guatemala or San Jose, Costa Rica, or Panama City, or Mexico, you're going to have to find out what the rules are. And if you don't follow the rules, you'll get met at the border or in the airport, and they'll tell you, well, you can't take those in. And so then you're going to turn around and go back. So you got to find out all that information ahead of time.
But you mean it is okay to actually get on an airplane carrying this sort of thing?
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
So it's just a matter of the law, the place that you're going. You just
but
have to know.
You have to declare it when you take it out. That's the thing.
Right.
You cannot take it out. There will come a time very, very soon you're not going to be able to do that. They've got to have exchange controls, don't you think, Bob?
Yeah, I think eventually we'll get them, but they'll come when we officially devalue to a couple of years from now.
Okay.
Maybe sooner.
Okay. Does that answer your question, Pat?
It does. Thank you very much.
More than well. God bless. And, of course, a lot of people have a lot of uncertainties with what's going on because we're in uncharted waters. And, of course, but read Alan Greenspan's essay, 1966, Gold and Wealth. Read it and reread it and study it because he told you the truth. He said, you know, that the people who run the welfare state don't want you to have gold because it's the only way to protect your wealth. Well, Bob, you go right ahead.
One other thing, the easy way to do that is to...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
We know America is changing, but most of the changes that are taking place seem to be designed to take away our freedom. And what can you do to remedy the current situation? Well, you can become informed, and one of the best ways to become informed is to subscribe to Republic Magazine, because that magazine provides the information that's suppressed in most other news magazines. If you want to oppose the effort to establish a one-world government, if you want to preserve freedom here in the United States and throughout the world, I suggest you subscribe to Republic Magazine, and you can do that by calling 1-800-873-1620. That's 800-873-1620, or access their website at www.republicmagazine.com. That's republicmagazine.com. I suggest you get extra copies for your family and your friends.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.
and Sydney, that you're listening to, at least to what he has to say. And understand that what is happening is not accidental, it's happening by intent. If you have not yet heard my talk on the financial Armageddon, you need to get it, and of course you need to get the syllabus that goes with that. My talk on the financial tsunami would be, it was given 3 or 4 years ago, but it's still very apropos today. The books we have on finance, The Coming Battle, written in 1899, telling how the banks were going to take over our country. They have. The Money Creators, who tells us about the banks that taking over our monetary system. They have. The Creature from Jekyll Island, certainly Ed Griffin's classic book on the international financiers, certainly the Federal Reserve Conspiracy, and the little book on entitled Fiat Money Inflation in France. Now, to put it all together, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to hear my talk on the Forbidden Secret, and, of course, my talk on the financial Armageddon I mentioned earlier. And then, of course, going along with Dan Brown's recent book, you need to get the 3 DVDs in the Secret Mysteries series. The 3 DVDs, get them separate, get them together, but get them. And then, of course, what can you do to help in this battle for the survival of Christian civilization? Well, you need a weapon. And I think one of the best weapons is my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get it and read it. And then we hope, and of course you've only got a limited time for this offer, because we've done this before, and this is how we've gotten our book republished. And that is, you can ordinarily get the book, which is a suggested retail price of $12.95, but you can get that book for a suggested retail price of just about $2 a book, $2.50 a book. But you have to buy a case of them, $149.95 plus shipping. And of course, when the books are actually printed, you get a case of them. You can sell them, you can give them away, you can do anything you want to. But this book will explain to people the true nature of what's going on today. Brotherhood of Darkness simply is the story of modern events against the backdrop of Agatha Christie's wonderful book, The Murder on the Orient Express. And so we certainly recommend that you get the book and read it, and then we hope you'll want to get a case. If you do, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Of course, go to our website at radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our programs 9 hours a day on the uplink. Of course, I should mention that we are changing our shortwave frequencies, and for those of you who listen on shortwave, WHRI apparently shifts to 5.875, although it looks that's where we are. But of course, WWCR, our afternoon program, shifts to 3.230. That's 3.230. And of course, that's a new frequency, and that will happen November the 1st. So it looks like we're staying on WHRI on the same frequency. We're shifting WWCR to 3.230 as of the 1st of November. Please tell others about our shortwave programs, our internet programs, our satellite and radio programs. And we're maintaining a network of about 60 outlets every single week. It's an expensive proposition. So if you're in a position to help, why, we'd love to hear from you. Again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. Radioliberty.com, where you can watch our DVDs and videos, where you, of course, can read our newsletters, where you can listen to our programs. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of J. Michael Bennett, who has a radio program of his own there in Tennessee. I think he's in Nashville, and of course, he's reaching a lot of the religious leaders in that area and carrying a message very similar to ours about the spiritual battle behind the political and ideological and cultural battle that's being waged today. And, of course, he does this, as I do, with the idea of trying to educate the Christian population of America. J. Michael, how are you doing?
It's wonderful and a privilege to be with you, Dr. Stan.
Well, why don't you just pick up the story? You were telling me some very interesting things that you've been reading and studying about here. So I'm just going to let you go on and tell our listeners about your concern. Share your concern about what's going on.
Okay. Well, if you don't mind, if you could oblige me, I'd just like to put a frame of reference to your listeners if they've not heard me on here before. On the Future Quake radio show that I do, and I need to be upfront with people, I am not a professional theologian. My doctorate is in engineering and in science. I've worked with military laboratories and been an entrepreneur and businessman, but have had the pleasure of being raised up in a Christian home and in a good God-fearing environment and culture. But I'm very concerned about what is happening to our culture, including within the church itself. And that's really where the Future Quake show is focused. We were privileged to get a prime spot on a Christian radio station right there in the heart of the Bible Belt in Nashville, reaching directly to the leadership of a lot of our major denominations and Christian universities with information that's very similar to what you cover here on Radio Liberty, and a lot of that information is very shocking. And the context that I think could describe a lot of the topics we have, and I think many of your shows, is lifted directly out of the backdrop in Revelation 18, talking about the great city Babylon, which it says that this great city is a habitation of devils and the hold of foul spirits and even unclean and hateful birds, which makes me think a lot of Bohemian Grove, you know, where you see the big bird that all of these powerful figures around the world come and worship in front of. But the key point is it talks about that the kings of the earth and that the great merchants of the earth, and the word for merchants there in the Greek implies a global merchants, that together they commit fornication and they wax rich because of the activities that they do together in conspiracy. And it says through this and through sorcery or pharmakia, by the use of drugs to contact these spiritual forces that empower them, and also to change the realities of people around them, whether it's our vaccines or our modified foods or other means that they use. It says by this sorcery or use of drugs, all the nations of the earth were deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and saints and all that were slain on the earth. So I think we have a good biblical context for the kind of information that you share and we share on Future Quake, is that the conspiracy of these corporate forces, global forces, and government forces use all of these techniques that engage in deception, and that's a consistent theme we have on our show.
Well, I think the important thing to understand is that many of the richest, most powerful people in the world are involved with the occult. I mean, it took me a long time to figure this out. In fact, I mean, will be eternally indebted to Constance Cumby for putting me into a book called Spirits of Politics. And here was my first inkling that people like Andrew Carnegie and J.P. Morgan and Henry Ford, and of course, as we study it more and more, we find many of our great corporate leaders and financial and banking leaders all have an allegiance to the occult in one form or another. That then becomes the key to understanding what's going on. Well, Michael, you go right ahead.
Okay. Well, just having established that, and again, I think that gives us our biblical basis for what we say. I know a lot of people who are new to our information we talk about would say, well, this sounds like a bunch of conspiracy theories. Well, if that's the case, then the Bible is a big conspiracy theory, because this is well established. And I believe the Christian church needs to recognize it and acknowledge it and respond to the spiritual war that we're involved in. And I can give you a case in point of a recent event that I had in approximately the last year. That was one particular aspect of this, particularly the religious aspect of it. I happened to come across a very interesting organization that I've not heard about through other Christian sources, called the International Institute of Integral Human Sciences. You can find their website at IIIHS.org. And it is an organization that's very interesting. It's a non-governmental organization of the UN, but it's co-sponsored by the World Council of Churches and the United Nations. So this is no shadowy conjecture of some kind of league between some religious force and others. They're very upfront on their website that they're funded by these groups together. And they provide evidence that they've had assistance from people like Kofi Annan, by the Dalai Lama, by the Pope, by other world leaders and figures. The astronaut Edgar Mitchell from the Institute of Noetic Sciences, which these folks usually pop up in most of these activities, they were all instrumental in getting this organization off the ground. And I guess if I had to summarize what their main activities are, they are trying to create a new world religion that can bring together all the people of the earth and also provide political benefits as well, too. But it's not just some kind of watered-down, feel-good kind of activity. It is directly occult. It's directly involved in conjuring of spirits. And in fact, they have created a new religious order called the Order of the Transfiguration. And their slogan is that they intend this to serve as a midwife of a new humanity for a new world order. And what they suggest that they do through this group, that you could actually be ordained into, they teach certain kinds of activities and skills, such as studying and conjuring apparitions, post-mortem contacts with dead saints, invocations of saints and angels, and through their other activities I've become aware of, they're big into channeling spirits, spirit contacts from beyond, wherever they may be. But this is the main focus of the group itself. And I was intrigued that I had not heard about this organization before, and so I actually invited the gentleman who is Anglican ordained.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back with okay. J. Michael. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and J. Michael Bennett was just telling us about a group he'd come across. It's into, certainly, this whole noetic science bit where people honestly believe that they can conjure up spirits, where they can communicate with the other dimension, where they can begin to change the world through the force of their minds. And certainly this is a common belief. And Michael was just saying he had invited the head of this organization, an Anglican minister, onto his program. Now, this is a group that is deeply involved in the occult. What's the name of it again, Michael?
So the International Institute of Integral Human Sciences.
All right, fine. So what happens when you invited the man onto your program?
Well, it's very interesting. This gentleman is a professor at a university, a theologian in Montreal, Canada. His wife, who actually operated along with him, she is also ordained as well. And she is well known in Canada in two roles. She is one of the top children's therapists in Canada. She's also one of the very top psychic mediums in Canada as well, too. So they're a very interesting couple. And when I invited him on, I talked about some of these things that they advertise on their website in a very respectful interview, but contrasted it with what the Bible says, the warning of the Bible says about contacting spirits from beyond and things. And we again, had a very civil discussion. I thought that was the end of it. And I was shocked to find out, to open a mail one day and say, Dr. Bennett, you've been invited to give a keynote talk at our upcoming international conference. It's a regular conference they have with a lot of the big-name folks like Edgar Mitchell, a lot of these folks you'll see on Coast to Coast, like Sean David Morton spoke there. He calls himself America's Prophet. A lot of the folks who are in the UFO cult religion. There are people like Dr. Stephen Greer, James Hertak, Stephen Bassett, So a lot of big-name people had come, and so I was really shocked to be invited to speak.
Now, is that the Stephen Greer who's into the UFO, exposing UFOs?
Yes.
All right, fine. So go right ahead, because if those of you who don't watch or listen to Coast to Coast or listen to the UFOlogist, I mean, Stephen Greer is certainly one of the major champions claiming the UFOs are real, and there is a very real effort on the part of the government to conceal the truth about UFOs, and I have no question that they're real. They do exist, but they do not come from another universe. They come from another dimension, from the spiritual dimension, and they are simply manifestations of the demonic forces out there. But you go ahead, Michael. This sounds fascinating. So anyway, because Edgar Mitchell was one of the original astronauts, well known for his occult beliefs, go right ahead.
Well, and in fact, if you go check out the that website that I gave you, you'll find that their emblem for this organization is a phoenix rising up out of the ashes. So just about all of the telltale kind of symbols that we would associate with this kind of movement are there. But just remember, and I've said that the UFO cult religion is a major part of this, that they wholeheartedly endorse and encourage. Yeah. And that was under the auspices of the United Nations and the World Council of Churches.
And, of course, I think people have to understand that America is symbolically the phoenix. They believe, at least in many of the cults, and I don't know whether this one expresses it, but they believe that there was once a great society known as Atlantis. Did they get at all into that at all in your discussion with them?
They covered everything from soup to nuts.
Well, of course, I think people have to understand that they believe, Plato, who was deeply involved in the occult in his dialogues, wrote about, they said lost Atlantis, this wonderful society that was destroyed by a flood, and they've always been looking to reconstitute lost Atlantis. And, of course, it was certainly Francis Bacon's belief. He was a philosopher who lived in Elizabethan times and died in 1628, but he believed that America was to be the new Atlantis, and he wrote a book to that effect, and he actually made arrangements for members of the secret Rosicrucian cult, secret society, to come to the United States to work behind the scenes, to have America become the new Atlantis that would lead the world into the new world order, the new utopian state with a new man, and reclaim what was lost by the lost Atlantis. And that's why the phoenix is so important, but that was the bird that was burned and rose from the ashes. So please go ahead, Michael. This is fascinating. And you went actually to speak to them?
Yes, I did. The theme of the conference last year was reconnecting heaven and earth in spirit, space, and the human psyche. This conference, it takes 2 weeks of nonstop presentations to get all of the world speakers from all the religions around the world to attend. But the general theme is that they've said that spirit channelers and mediums have been able to open up isolated portals to the spirit world and make connections up to now. But they believe that the time is coming very soon when the portals are going to open wide open, and there's going to be a mass communication between the spirit world, this, quote, enlightened state, and where we are in humanity right now. And my talk, accordingly, was called The Challenges and Opportunities Present When Heaven and Earth Collide. Now, all of the other presentations there, and there were about 400 or 500 people there, and ironically, almost every one of them were spirit mediums and channelers. It was a large room. It reminded me of the prophets of Baal. There was a large turnout for it. And as I was coming in with another gentleman from my church that went with me, and we asked somebody coming in, and nobody really knew who we were, I said, it seems like there's such a spirit of unity here, looking around and acceptance here. And my associate and I asked him, he said, well, is there anybody here who's not welcome in this global village here? And they said, well, the only people we can really think of are people who take the Bible literally. And so there was a stern message there that sort of associated that those kind of people really weren't that welcome. And it may have been that they didn't quite understand where our positions, which were in fact that, were at this. But we met some of the most interesting people. Met a lot of senior citizens and women from middle America, lived you know, just in our classic hometowns. I remember one of them in particular that told me that she had an altar to the Babylonian Queen of Heaven in her home and baked cakes for her and did the kind of things that we read about in the Old Testament. And the indication was that this is widespread, even in our country. From talking with them, there were approximately 10,000 members of this group, and those are cell leaders, and they lead their own communities around the globe that are trying to raise up and build this particular type organization. But my particular talk began, and I was up front with them about my commitment to the what I call the accuracy, the authenticity, and the authority of the Bible. Is my standard in my talk and my discussion, a very academic-style talk. But I went through each of the events in world history where someone who was a notable figure in history actually had contact with some kind of being other than God that received a message, and in fact that impacted the world and themselves. And so I methodically went through each of these people and looked at their particular involvement that they had in world history, and then actually contrasted that to the similar kind of context that are talked about in the Bible. And one of the advantages in the Bible is that you actually get some commentary of the significance of the event as well, too. And what became very obvious in the discussion is that every one of these contacts through all of these world figures, going back to the oracles at Delphi or the ancient astronauts supposedly at Sumer, even Dr. John Dee, who had his contact with angels, Muhammad, Joseph Smith, that's something they have in common, or messages they receive, Swedenborg, the spiritualism movement, and on, Blavatsky and others. The same message that's given in the garden by the serpent, that if you take this particular action, rebellion against God, your eyes will be opened, and you will be illumined, and you will be as gods. And so that simple story in Genesis record actually is the template by which all of these communications existed. And there are a few more examples that you well know in the Bible, like the Witch of Endor and others, where there were events happened and they weren't positive experiences from these contacts. And of course the Old Testament gives a lot of warnings about contacts with these spirits. And in fact, God says that at times he will even send false prophets to test the people to see if they stay true to his word and to the Torah and to his record, and to see if they will turn away. And in fact it says even if you see great miracles that are done, but the teaching is away from my word, then you've done a great sin. I'm paraphrasing here. But those passages were talked about in my particular discussion. And then I talked about in the New Testament and the idea that Christians today have a clear understanding as well, in agreement with them, that soon the portals are going to be opened, wide open like they were teaching. But unfortunately, we have a much more disconcerting outcome that's going to come from this opening, because the portal that's going to open, in our understanding from the Word, is the abyss that's going to open. And we're going to have stars falling from heaven, and the fallen powers are going to be unleashed without any kind of restriction for a very brief time on humanity during this time of judgment. And then I closed in my discussion by telling them that all of these gods that they were worshiping, all the people that I'd heard talked about there, these gods were all going to bow before Jesus one day, before they were sent off to destruction and judgment. And all of their followers and soothsayers and channelers and others, the Bible says in Isaiah and elsewhere, are going to be destroyed, and their bodies are going to lay outside the city in permanent ruins. And so now was a time of repentance. Now was a time of turning away from it, and that the door was still open to turn away from the voices of these others. And you could have heard a pin drop after an hour and a half of that message.
And, of course, what was the reception afterwards? Were you sort of shunned?
Well, they had a whole conference afterwards, a panel session with different world leaders discussing my talk and about the preeminence of Jesus over these other gods that they talked about.
And, of course, really, it's fascinating. What a unique opportunity to actually share the Christian gospel with people. I had a recent opportunity at the conspiracy conference where a young man got up at the question-answer period and asked, you know, had I ever thought maybe I was worshiping the wrong God? Maybe the God I was worshiping was the wrong one. He was allowing all these terrible things to happen. And I thanked him for bringing out the fact that so many people worship another God. And it was just talking about
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
In the United Nations, and of course, he said you could have heard a pin drop during the program. After the program, the head channeler there called all the channelers and mediums up to the front of the room to, I'm sure, probably have them begin praying to their God, you know, that lightning would come and strike Michael, and certainly to reinforce the fact that what they were doing was right and that Michael was wrong. The Buddhist who leaned over told Michael he was a very brave man. But you must understand, ladies and gentlemen, there really are people, millions of people in America and hundreds of millions of people throughout the world who worship the other God, who are in contact with the other dimension. There is a spiritual dimension. The leaders of this country are dedicated to that other dimension and bringing about this world utopian government. The new order of the ages described at the back of our dollar bill, suddenly discussed by Dan Brown in his discussion with Matt Lauer this last week on, I've forgotten which television program it was, but a fascinating discussion. Only Dan Brown didn't tell the truth when he was asked, well, I mean, where do these people get this supernatural ability to actually be able to control a thought with their minds, be able to control matter with their minds? And he said, oh, I don't know where it comes from. Well, he does know. He mentioned his favorite book was The Secret Teachings of All Ages, The Teachings of Manly P. Hall. And that Manly P. Hall was a Luciferian. He worshipped Lucifer. And he makes it very clear in his writings that there is another dimension, that you can contact the other dimension, that there's power there that can be utilized in this world to change the world. And that's their goal, is to bring out this one world government. It's coming to pass today. Well, but Michael was telling us that, Chris, afterwards, they began to rally their forces. He was the only Christian there, but he had a lot of people praying for him. He had Chris talk to Constance Cumby and Tom Horn, a number of our very close friends in this battle. And so what happened after that, Michael?
Well, let me just mention a positive side to it. As soon as I finished my talk and wasn't sure what I was going to experience next before they began the panel discussion, I was flooded with a group of people that surrounded me at the speaker's table. I wasn't sure what kind of criticism I would get, but every one of these people said, we have never heard this information before. We have never heard the whole story put together. Several of them had said that it was the most comprehensive, most complete academic, holistic, exhaustive talk they'd heard, which I was a little afraid that I was going to be outclassed by these people here. They're world-class people that attend these conferences, and it was something hastily put together. But evidently, they are not fed very much information, complete information about what's really going on. And so they all asked for copies in French and other languages and things because they had never heard how what they had been experiencing and observing and been told fit in a biblical context, and there's actually answers on where this source was coming from. So the positive word there is that if we would take the effort to reach out to people like this, to actually go to them, just like Jesus went to where the publicans and the sinners were and was loving and gave the information they needed because they were the sick who needed to be whole. And the evidence I saw was that the fields are wide into harvest. If we're willing to take that risk, step out of our comfort element, out of our churches, when mature leaders that are prayed up and can deal with it, to go into their turf and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But in the middle of this discussion, where these other people spoke on this panel about my talk, one of the interesting things was mentioned by the Kabbalah specialist, and again, I don't know how to verify it, but I was sure that I heard him correctly. He said that they had known for some period of time before the appearance of Jesus and afterwards that Jesus Christ was the Messiah of the Jews. And he said this very clearly. He said, we knew ahead of time that's what it was, but we covered it up. It was a cover-up because we did not want him impacting our activities. And I was shocked to hear this. And I went back afterwards with another gentleman and asked him afterwards, and he reiterated the case, that this was something that was well known and it was a willful rejection. I don't know the significance of that, but those are just samples of the kind of things that I heard while I was at the conference itself.
I think, you know, all we have to know, remember, is the story of the Magi, the three Magi who came. They were into the mystic. The Magi were magicians. They were into the supernatural. But they came to see the King of the Jews. They knew who he was. They recognized him. And they felt he was should be worshipped. But, of course, that was not the predominating philosophy of that time. They've always known on the other side there's a battle between good and evil. And tragically, most have chosen evil. Well, Michael, certainly it's exciting to actually hear that you were actually there, and I'm just so proud of you being willing to go and willing to talk, because we're involved in a battle of ideas. Certainly, we're involved in a spiritual battle, but the battlefield has to be dealt with by the fact that our ideas and the God that we worship is mightier than the God that they worship, and of course, eventually, all will fall down and worship our God. Go right ahead.
Well, that's right. And, you know, to this day, I don't know why they picked me in particular to speak, and I don't know why God chose me to speak, because on the way there, I kept thinking, this would be so much better handled by a Stan Monteith or a Tom Horn or a number of other people that I could think of who are really skilled in dealing with this. But, you know, sometimes in our walk, the Lord just gives us something to do, and we don't know his reasons why, but he has his reasons. But there's been a number of events like that, similar to that, since I've been operating the Future Quake show. There was a similar event that happened very close by here. I'm sure you're familiar with the Indigo Children have been in the news quite a bit. There's been documentaries.
No, really haven't. Tell us about them.
Well, this is a bizarre kind of thing. In fact, it was really brought into the mainstream with Diane Sawyer did a documentary a few years ago on it. There have been claims that there are a new breed of children that are now being raised that are called indigo children. And these children, for some reason, are genetically or spiritually different than the rest of us. They seem to have higher intelligence. They completely are unconcerned or interested in the things that concern us. They sort of go their own way. They ignore instructions from their parents and other guidance. And they just are on their own wavelength, doing their own thing. And it's been turned by the New Age community to believe that these people are the ones that are being raised to basically take over humanity. There's quite a bit you can see on television or online about it. And then there's a separate twist recently. They've been further classified by other groups as starseed children.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with J. Michael Bennett. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Michael has told us the fascinating story of what happened when he talked to this group. Was that group actually associated with the Institute of Noetic Sciences?
Well, the connection is that Dr. Edgar Mitchell assisted them in the founding of this group. I could not find evidence on their website of a direct connection, but obviously the links are there. A lot of the speakers had affiliation with the Institute of Noetic Sciences into this group. So
that's a group that's up in Petaluma. Certainly Dan Brown writes about that. He's well aware of it. He calls, of course, this fictional group his institute, Noetic Institution, something like that. There, it's mostly at the Smithsonian Institute. Now, that's all fiction. But the fact that he talks about how in the institute, why, of course, Kathleen Sullivan, Catherine's anyway, the heroine certainly it has the Sullivan, Catherine Sullivan has the ability to manipulate matter with her mind, and of course this is the theme that Dan Brown's pushing in his book, that there is this other ability out there, and it is very real, and we can tap into that. And then, of course, in his interview with Matt Lauer, they brought up the Institute of Noetic Sciences up in Petaluma, where they experimented with exactly the same things, the ability to have astral projection and certainly to influence matter with your mind. Is this possible? Yes, of course it's possible. I have a friend of mine who was a medium before he was saved and brought into the kingdom, and he could actually project himself outside of his body. People would come from hundreds of miles to hear his readings, only he wasn't doing readings. Body was taken over by a demonic spirit, and fortunately he's come to know the Lord and really is, of course, gives a wonderful Christian testimony. But now, of course, but these things are not imaginary, they're very real. Dan Brown was asked, well, where does the power come from, by Matt Lauer asked him. I don't know, he said. Well, of course he knows, but he's not going to tell you what this is really all about. There is another dimension, you can contact that other dimension, and you certainly don't want to. if you fear the Lord and fear for your eternal salvation. Now, then Michael was telling us about the indigo children, and I hadn't heard about them. So, I mean, they're probably much more popular in the East Coast. Maybe I just didn't listen to the right television program. But tell us more about the indigo children. These seem to be children who have a different worldview than the rest of us, and they, at least it's believed that they're being prepared to lead the world when, of course, this new order is brought about. Go right ahead with the story.
Yes, that's right. In fact, it almost reminds me of some of those old classic movies like Village of the Damned and things like that, where these children are sort of on their own wavelength, working to their own agenda. But it's funny, there is a California connection, because there are a group of people within the New Age community that actually refer to these same children as starseed children. And the leader of that is a gentleman by the name of Dr. Richard Boylan, who's out in your neck of the woods in California and is known all over the world as research. He's another regular guest on Coast to Coast and other radio shows around the world and television. But they actually believe that these children are so special because they have been product of some kind of genetic engineering of ETs from somewhere else, who have actually been involved in some kind of hybridization program for some period of time. And they have been raised up to elevate all of humanity to be prepared to meet our global fathers, I guess you could say, or forebearers, who are coming back very, very soon. And that's the teaching that goes about. Well, ironically, the actual gathering or reunion of all of these starseed children around the country that people believe their children are is right here just down the street in the rural side of town here from where we live. I mean, literally down the street where they all come and congregate, including Dr. Boylan, to lead them through various rituals and ceremonies. And there was a gentleman here who actually has the retreat that's, again, in our area here, right in the buckle of the Bible Belt, and had him and his wife on our show just before this event occurred one year. And he was telling me a story. He's a real gentleman, very kind person to talk to. But I saw some pictures of some entities that he said that he contacted or interacted with, and they were terrifying images of these particular creatures. And as he talked on my radio show, he was saying that there was an event that happened where these horrible demonic creatures began to attack him in his home. And they were so noticeable that even other family members could tell of what they were doing in their actual events and attacking him and accosting him. And he says that he just relied on his upbringing from what church he'd been to, and he just kept pleading the blood of Jesus and just pled that the blood of Jesus would leave him alone. And he said these spirits just visibly left. And in fact, people saw them leave and leave out of the house and move through the trees and away. But he says in time they kept talking to him over time. And they kept telling him to forget the blood of Jesus and focus only on the love of Jesus. And as he began to do that, he began to be more sympathetic to these creatures, invited them back inside of him, and of course changed his worldview at that time. And then he became part of this community, New Age community. And I happened to drop over. In fact, there's some pictures at futurequake.com of going to their event. And they were actually doing all sorts of, they had medicine men there doing ceremonies with these children. And many of the people claimed they saw apparitions in the sky while they were doing these ceremonies and things. But this was going on right in the Bible Belt area, here in the greater Nashville area. They also have contact, supposedly, with these entities at a state park just out the bounds of Nashville. And they actually have a channeler that channels the Star Nations and communicates through Dr. Boylan, their emissary here. And so these are the activities that are going on, but they're really playing up these starseed children, and they're getting quite old right now. But they all seem to believe they have some kind of agenda that they're leading us to, and their parents have basically turned them loose to do whatever their heart desires to lead to this. So this is another curiosity that's going on, and I find it fascinating here in our part of the country, which is associated with evangelical Christianity, that we're seeing so much of this stuff come to us. You know, William Henry, who was the host of Dreamland, I guess one of the shows that are part of Coast to Coast AM, it's a national program, he's based out of here and the host of it, and he writes a lot of esoteric topics about mystical ways of enlightenment and reaching the higher levels. And he actually teaches that Nashville, Tennessee, is the most mystical city in the world that rivals Giza and Stonehenge in its mystical alignment and talks about our parks and things down here that are represented the same as it were in ancient Babylon. But they bring people from all over the world. People like Linda Moulton Howe and other famous speakers come here to speak every summer. Because they have, you may not know this, but the largest idol in the Western world is in Nashville, Tennessee. We have a huge statue, I think it's about 40 feet tall, to Athena in a Parthenon right in downtown Nashville. And a lot of strange symbolic kind of things. We have a mainline Protestant church downtown that has features in the sanctuary of Isis, of pyramids with the unfinished block on the top of it. These kind of things painted right in the sanctuary. So there is just a strange convergence here in the Nashville area, but the light of God is shining through at the same time as well.
Well, I think most people are totally unaware of the fact that there is a spiritual battle going on today. That this is not theoretical, it's very real. There really is another dimension. You can contact that other dimension, although we're told in the Bible not to do it, and we're told to avoid the mediums and the fortune tellers and certainly the diviners and the astrologers. We're told not to. Why did God put that in the Bible? Because he knows how fascinating these things are. And, of course, if you begin to compromise with them, why, pretty soon you'll want to invite them back in, as this gentleman you're talking about did. And you will no longer call on the blood of Jesus to protect you. You have to learn that, certainly I've come under demonic attack, and they leave me alone most of the time now. But I learned long ago from my minister that when this happens, you simply call on the blood of Jesus to protect you, and you command those demons to go back to the pit of hell, and they will leave you alone. They are frightened to death of that. And you say, well, how could anybody, how could you have that ability? Well, because I've given my life to the Lord, and I'm not the best Christian in the world. I'm certainly not a theologian. But I believe that we have that capacity. But we have to claim it, and we have to understand that this is not imaginary. The battle is real. Millions of people are dying every year, victims of this battle, certainly the battle that's going on, the wars going on in Pakistan and in Afghanistan and Iraq are all part of that. As Lucifer claims lives and use our young fighting, idealistic fighting men who believe they're fighting for a country. No, they're fighting for the Luciferians who are preparing for the terrible times that come. And what I really fear is the coming nuclear war, when we're going to begin to see the fulfillment of the prophecies in Revelation 6:8 as the fourth horseman of the apocalypse is released. And unless you understand the Bible, you can't understand anything going on today. And certainly Michael is on the front lines of this battle. That's fascinating about the Indigo Children. Have you ever been to any of their conventions or their meetings?
Well, I went to their reunion here locally. It was just virtually my back door. And, of course, I could feel the darkness of the things that were actually shown and illustrated. It was a blatant New Age activity. Again, they had a medicine man there that were doing certain ceremonies and healing ceremonies and things like this. But I couldn't help but feel a sense of real sadness, because these are people who are looking for answers. I talked to a number of these people offline. It turns out many of these people, which is very interesting, because many of them came from the rural South, which I don't always anticipate being associated with New Age activities, but they had bad experiences in the church for one reason or another, which was much like the people that I met in Montreal. And because of these bad experiences, they looked elsewhere. Either they had gotten bad counseling or advice at a church or some other bad example, and We should let that be a message for all of us, a lesson in the church, that our actions that we take, or when we don't have a loving spirit, or take time for people in church, can drive them away to someone who will give them that attention. And it's another exercise for me to be able to have sympathy for people in a New Age environment. I've found it much more difficult sometimes to do that than even other monotheistic religions like Islam. Because the New Age movement is usually a willful rejection of the knowledge of Jesus Christ and actually embracing yourself as God and setting yourself up on a pedestal as God and, And actually, we know there's another god, a demonic force that takes over rather than yourself. But usually it's a willful rebellion. But the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So we need to keep all of these people in prayer. They're individual human beings. Their souls are in peril. We have the means. We have the message. We have the power imbued in us through the Holy Spirit that we can take for deliverance. Of course, we need to get our own personal lives in order. We need to live holy lives and lives that cannot inhibit our ability to be a minister of the gospel to these people. But it's happening everywhere. It's wrecking our families. I know of counselors close by to me who are finding that they're having to treat even counseling as a demonic issue that's actually breaking up families because of this widespread demonic effect. And I grew up in a part of the evangelical community that really didn't emphasize that very much at all. So it's not something I have a proclivity to. But I've learned in recent years that for some reason things are really widespread in terms of the growth of demonic reigning over our communities, our families. And we've got to get serious about it, recognize it's warfare. We are soldiers here. It's not the time to relax. It's not the time to take liberty. It's time for us to put on our backpack and our gun, get side by side with our fellow soldiers in spiritual warfare and work, and put our hand to the plow of the Lord's business.
And of course, what they're doing, everything they possibly can to undermine faith in the Bible. And they've infiltrated our seminaries and trained our ministers in a different gospel where they don't talk about the fact that we're sinners and we need a Savior. They say that God loves us and everybody's going to get to heaven just exactly as certainly as George W. Bush said, you know, and as Billy Graham said, you don't have to be a Christian to get to heaven. If you doubt that, you need to see the amazing clips as the leader of Christendom, modern-day Christianity, on television with Robert Schuller said, you don't have to be a Christian to get to heaven. Well, if you don't have to be a Christian to get to heaven and accept the divinity of Jesus Christ, then the whole message of Christianity is a lie. And you see, Billy Graham did a great deal of good. But why would he make a statement like that? Well, you need to hear him say it. It's in the amazing clips, or the there's a little short version of that. You will be glad to send it to you. It's simply the short version of the amazing clips. But the message there is permeated the church. They've changed the music of our church. Does your church still have an organ, or does it have the drums and the guitar and all the other things that you'd see at a rock concert? There's nothing wrong with those at a rock concert if you like rock music, but in a church? And when was the last time your minister said, everyone here is a sinner? And, of course, you need a Savior. And that's what the message of the gospel is. But it doesn't sell very well in today. And it's all about selling ideas and making people feel good about themselves. And none of us can afford to do that because we have to be constantly reminded of the sacrifice that God made for us, you know, with his son to go to the cross so that we would have an opportunity for salvation. And so anyway, Michael, did you have any feedback after you gave that talk to the leaders of this movement?
You know, it's interesting. I wondered what kind of fallout there might be, and as it's turned out, I still get the generic bulk mail of their regular events. They still are having more spirit medium teaching lessons where they actually invite people to become spirit mediums and teach them the ropes on this, and all sorts of activities that are going on. Anything that you picture as wickedness in the Old Testament, they focus on that, and that's what they teach there. They had talked about, the next conference that was up this year, but I did not get a personal invitation this year. I was shocked that I wasn't invited back. But, there were videos that were made of this that are they're for sale by them, they're distributed by them. They were sent all over the world. I was able to get copies of it. I have audio copies at the front of futurequake.com if you want to hear it. I put my slides up there, too, if you want to see the PowerPoint slides.
I want you to give our listeners the opportunity to go to your website. How can they get to your website?
If you go to futurequake.com, it's like earthquake, but it's futurequake.com. And if you click on the little tab at the top that says past shows, all 5 years of shows are archived there as MP3s. You can download them to your computer or play them real time. It's on iTunes as well, too. And really, I look to you as a role model, Dr. Stan. We just try to do our little bit, let our light shine where we are.
Well, I think when I'm not around, I think you're going to probably pick up the mantle, and you're doing a great job. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
We know America is changing, but most of the changes that are taking place seem to be designed to take away our freedom. And what can you do to remedy the current situation? Well, you can become informed, and one of the best ways to become informed is to subscribe to Republic Magazine, because that magazine provides the information that's suppressed in most other news magazines. If you want to oppose the effort to establish a one-world government, if you want to preserve freedom here in the United States and throughout the world, I suggest you subscribe to Republic Magazine, and you can do that by calling 1-800-873-1620. That's 800-873-1620, or access their website at www.republicmagazine.com. That's republicmagazine.com. I suggest you get extra copies for your family and your friends.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
J. Michael, what's the title of the book that we both wrote chapters in, and Deborah Ray and so many of other friends have written it for it? What's the title of the book?
It's called How to Overcome the Most Frightening Issues You Will Face This Century.
How to Overcome the Most Frightening Issues You'll Face This Century. And certainly, J. Michael has written a chapter in that. Deborah Ray has written a chapter. I've written a chapter, the whole flock of chapters in the book. And Sydney, do you know how they can get the book?
Yes, there's several ways. If you go to futurequake.com, you can click right on the front of it, and you can get a copy signed. You know my radio moniker, my show is Dr. Future, and you'll see it signed by Dr. Future, sent directly to them. Or you can go to RaidersNewsNetwork.com through their Survivor Mall. They actually have books for sale there. And all your regular outlets, even WorldNet Daily and other places, all carry them. Of course, if you do carry them at your place, too, that's another wonderful place to get them.
Well, I'm going to call Tom and order them and get them out in hand. Anyway, God bless. We'll look forward to seeing you on Sunday, and thanks so much.
Thanks for the privilege, and I appreciate it so much.
Good night. God bless.
Good night.
And ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've enjoyed the interview with with Michael, and of course, you know, we're looking for young people who are going to be able to pick up the mantle and be able to run with the ball when we're not here. We're pushing 81. I don't know how much longer I'll be able to continue doing what I'm doing. How exciting it is to know that Michael is there, young, full of enthusiasm, and certainly understanding as well as I do, and you know, exactly what's going on today. Well, we do hope, of course, many of you out there will want to get involved, because you need to understand what's happening, and you need to help us get the word out. One of the best ways I know would be to get a case of my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and of course, ordinarily, the book sells for the suggested gift $12.95, but you can get a case with 60 copies for a little over $2.50, or just about $2.50 plus shipping. Copy, and then you can sell them if you want to, give them away, or do whatever you want to. But Sydney, no, we need to get the book out so people will understand that there really is another dimension. There really are satanic and Luciferian forces out there. There are people who are in communication with that other dimension. There are people who worship Lucifer, and of course, they belong to a number of the most prominent organizations and secret societies in America, like the Masons, like the Bohemian Grove, like Skull and Bones, like the Rosicrucians, like the Theosophists, and of course, all cataloged in the book. And the story is told against the backdrop of the murder on the Orient Express. Well, if you're interested in getting a case of the books, and of course you won't get them until the printing is done, but of course we need a pledge from you, and why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Here is a weapon that you can utilize to actually begin to change people's lives. And the book actually has changed people's lives. It's simple, it's easy to read, and yet it has a message that's as true as, well, as true can be. And, of course, that along with the Bible, we hope will, and, of course, not comparing it to the Bible at all. My book is very elementary. The Bible is the source of truth upon which you must frame your life. So, if you're interested, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And if you want to get Constance Cumby's DVD or 4-tape set, if you want to get my talks on the Forbidden Secret or on the Financial Armageddon or certainly on the Brotherhood of Darkness, they're here. You need to get the Secret Mystery Series, because I believe this played an important part in Dan Brown's decision to write his book of The Lost Symbol. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow evening, when we'll be with you at the same time, Dr. Stan, good night, and may the Lord be with you.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is Monday, the 19th of October. Thank you for joining us today. Josh will not be here today, but I got Catherine in the studio with me, and we are going to be telling you the news that CNN and everybody else in the fringe networks seems to lose. That's right. They are fringe. We are the mainstream networks. Thank you for joining us today on the Power Hour. It appears now that the Oath Keepers, their pledge to prevent a dictator in the United States, oh, they're serious. They are really serious. We need to talk about this, Because, yes, listeners, they have said, not no, but heck no. Is this going to spread to the rest of the United States military? We can only hope. It appears we're about to begin a new war. Well, not really. That's not fair. It's an old war that hasn't been declared yet that we've kept simmering. So it looks like we're going to war. We'll talk about that. We've been talking about it before. If you're watching television, of course, it's the balloon hoax, the balloon hoax, the balloon hoax. Yes, it was a hoax. Now there's trouble. But, you know, I see behind these stories and I realize how they're now linking the tinfoil hat people with the balloon hoax and any chance to try and eliminate the thoughts, the facts, the research of those people that are on the mainstream, such as the Power Hour, they will attempt to do. Well, it's a sad story with the Heaney family and the six-year-old Falcon. We'll discuss that a little bit. But more importantly, the mayor of Moscow, Russia, has admitted that they do weather modification. Admitted it. This story will chill you to the very bone, and to realize that it's happening all the time, all the time. Do you have any sons between 9 and 26 years of age? Oh, they got a new vaccine. In fact, they've got 3 shots waiting for your sons between 9 and 26. And a Kenyan newspaper has now said, well, they didn't really say it now. You're going to be surprised at the date. But they have admitted that Obama was born in Kenya. Does it make a difference? I think it does to the Oath Keepers. I think it does to a lot of people. And another bank goes down. If you haven't heard, one bank went down over the weekend on Friday. There's plenty of H1N1 vaccine. Oops, there's a shortage of H1N1 vaccine. Confusion, panic. They need 2 shots. They need 1 shot. They need no shots. What do you do? Oh, stay away from the shots. And we have, in this next segment, we're going to play the fake Al-Qaeda cartoon character information on Adam Gadon. You're not going to like this story, because if you believed in the Adam Gadon story, you bought into another hoax, if you will. Now, if we do federal charges against a person with a hoax on a balloon, what should we do with a government that does a hoax? Many people who buy and sell gold, now this is not Midas, but I will tell you, they're unable to get the gold. They're having trouble getting gold right now, and it appears that Harrods in London is going to be selling bullion for the first time. So I would say fasten your seatbelt. It's going to get really ugly very shortly. We don't have a group of senators and representatives that are there to protect us. We've got a bunch of people there who are there to create an agenda to control us. And outside of Ron Paul, I don't know who else is there to support us. Also, there's a bill that shields most banks from any kind of review. Give them all the money, but don't ask them where it went. That's the way they do it. We'll be back after this 3-minute break. Stay tuned to the Power Hour.